This morning, I want us to look at a couple of passages of Scripture before we look at what we normally spend some time in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we come to the Lord's Supper. But this morning, I want to share with you, as Jesus is speaking, John 3, 14 through 15. He says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So we go back and we look at the story that's in the book of Numbers, and we will here in just a moment. We will see the veiled prediction of the death of Jesus Christ. I have always been taught that you call these things the types in the Old Testament of Christ that are pointing to Jesus. And this is one of those that we are taking and we are looking at within God's Word. We realize as we think of salvation that we've come to the point and understand that for us to be redeemed, for us to come to know Christ, we've got to understand our sin. So many times the gospel is presented without the message that we are sinners in need of grace. And this morning, I want us to look at that as we come and we take this supper and we realize the sacrifice that was truly made for us. In John 12, 24, Scripture says, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." We see the death of Christ and the bearing of much fruit. And we see in our salvation, our dying to ourselves and then living again. I want us to read out of Numbers chapter 21 this morning. Hopefully, I think my clicker's dead again. I'll remember to get a battery next week, hopefully. But we see in Numbers 21, it says, "And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. So many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. And we look at this passage of Scripture within the Old Testament. And I don't know about you, but it is just not one of the most exciting ones to read. Here you see an impatient people. Anybody here impatient? We've got a few hands. The rest, many of us are still lying. All right? We're impatient. Normally, in some way or another, we are impatient. And they are impatient because they have the same food over and over and over and over again. Anybody get impatient about food? That's not exactly what you want when you want it. We've had this discussion recently. It's the sin of complaining. As God has graciously provided for them everything that they need. And you notice within the text, they loathe this worthless food. Philippians 2:14 tells us to do all things without grumbling or questioning. Other translations say, or complaining. And you see the heart of God's people as they have been taken care of by the Lord so graciously, and here they are complaining. And you say, well, what's the big deal? If it were me, I would be complaining because I don't have Italian on one night and I don't have my hamburgers on another night. And those in my family know we're going through the list of our meals during the week. And we want what we want when we want it. And he's coming along and he's saying, and showing what he thinks of the complaining heart. As God has graciously taken care of them. Now folks, understand, parallel to Jesus, that typology that is taking place here. And that parallel, as here they have complained against God, and basically what they have said is, "God, you don't know what you're doing because I want something else." Have you ever thought about that when you're complaining? Think about what you complain about. Most of the time we complain because we don't get our way. And they are not getting their way, and they are taking it to the Lord, and they are complaining. No patience. They have sinned. And as you notice within the text, it's a grievous sin. It is the point that he sends a plague of snakes among them. You say, man, I'd be toast. You would be. Folks, understand, Scripture says the wages of sin is death. When did it start? In the garden, as they took and they ate of the tree that they were not supposed to eat of. And what happened? The penalty of death took place. Now, folks, understand, they didn't die instantly, but death came to be. And it has been ever since. The penalty for sin is always death. You say, well, I haven't been killed because of my sin, folks. I'm here to tell you, that's the penalty that is there. And it is a penalty that you and I deserve at the very first point that we would sin within our life instantaneously. We deserve death. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we come forth from the womb spouting lies. You like that? It's what we deserve. And you notice within the text here, what happened is they deserved death and they were getting bitten and they were dying. Because they were bitten by these snakes because of their rebellion, because of their complaining. Can you imagine what that would be like? I've told you before, I'm just not that wild about snakes. But can you imagine you see them going around and they're biting in some people one time and maybe several of them gang up on another one. And I mean, you just see all of this taking place around you. And you're like, oh my goodness, what have we done? And you realize it, and they have realized it instantaneously, and they've realized the sin that they have had as they see what these people are going through as they've been bitten by this snake. Now, we don't know exactly what the snake was, but probably just the effect of the nervous system and just literally watching that take place with the thousands of people that were dying would literally be a picture to us in our own understanding of hell. Horrendous. Folks, I've seen too many people die. I've seen it a lot of times. It happens. It's not pretty. And here they're watching several die because of their sin. And they cry out. They say, we've sinned against the Lord. Folks, you've got to understand, that's what's got to happen when we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our personal Savior. We've got to understand the awfulness of our sin. Folks, they understood the awfulness of their sin because it was taking place right there in front of them. These people are dropping like flies. And they understand the horror of their sin against God. You say, well, he doesn't do that today. Well, I'm grateful. But it doesn't mean that we don't come to that point that we realize that we are sinners truly deserving of this place called hell. Just like they were in this story, in this true account. They had to believe that they were sinners. And you notice they confess it within the text. And then we see within the text, he says, pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and he would live. Folks, was it anything in the serpent? On the pole that saved them? No. It was that they would look up and they would believe first that they have sinned against God, and they have believed that God said that it would heal them as they looked. They believed him. They had faith in God as they looked at that serpent. The same thing with you and I as we come to know Christ. It's not that we look up at a serpent, but it's the picture that what? Christ would be put up. And that we look to Him for our salvation. This day we come together and we celebrate that He went to that cross and He died. So you wouldn't go to this place called hell that you deserve. You say, oh, I don't deserve hell. Yeah, you do. Adam and Eve, they ate a piece of fruit that they shouldn't have eaten. And death took place. Folks, I dare say every one of us within this room has done more than eat a wrong piece of fruit. And we look to Jesus, the one that says, tells us, the scripture tells us of Him who's gone to the cross to pay the price for our sin. Do you understand you deserve it, what you deserve? But the great love that He has shown to us as He came and He put His arms on that cross, He was nailed to it, and He suffered, He bled, and He died to pay the price for your sin. Look to Jesus. It's not just looking to Him, but understanding the payment was made for you, for your sin. Say, well, many people say, well, you know what? That took care of it for everybody. No. No, that's for those that have looked to Him and believed that He has paid the price for their sin and trusted Jesus' payment. We say every time we come to the time of invitation that what God calls us to do is to repent of our sin. Scripture says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, says, repent and be converted. It is a turning away from our sin. It is because we realize that He paid with everything for our sin. And how can we but do anything else but to turn our lives over to Him and serve Him with everything that we've got? Folks, it doesn't mean that we're perfect. Far from it. But we strive to be like Him in everything within our lives. Jesus had to die because it was without the shedding. Without shedding of the blood, there was no remission of our sin. And what a precious, precious gift that we have of eternal life. You notice that text of Scripture that we read describing this event and making reference to it was really a pretty famous passage of Scripture. John chapter 3, verses 14, 15. What's the famous verse? It's the 3:16. Anybody know that one? So He's saying, here's this picture that He has lifted up and you've looked on to Him. And He says, so God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You look as they did to the serpent, and their lives were spared. You look to Jesus, and you accept Him as the Lord and your Lord and Savior in your life. And He comes in and He changes your life. Maybe today you need to do that. You need to come to that point that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior within your life. I don't know where you're at, but maybe today you need to come and accept Him. In a moment we're going to have a time of invitation, but I'm going to share another text of Scripture with you. I was trying to find a good transition, but it's just difficult to do. But passage of Scripture we read each and every time that we come together for the Lord's Supper. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and following. It says, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, He took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. You understand that what the Lord has called us to do here is to stop and to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. understand the depth of the sacrifice, as we've talked about before, that was necessary to pay the price for your sin. Folks, he became the substitute for you of what you deserve. You say, how in the world can that transaction take place? I don't know. But just as we know, by looking at a golden serpent lifted up, how all those people's lives were saved, we don't get it, except that they looked with faith. And so the same pictures, we have come and we've accepted what was done on the cross by faith. But we don't forget it. You understand, in the scripture, we are taught about Easter. We are taught about the virgin birth. But the one thing that we are told to come back and to remember in this way is his death. It is not saying that either of those things are not important at all. But this is one of those things that needs to be central. The sacrifice that was made for you. Yes, we live in resurrection power. Yes, he is the Son of the living God because he was born of a virgin. But we stop and we never forget that he died on the cross. He says in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You hear that? We take this each time and we proclaim his death. Many would say that they want us to have a church anymore that is a bloodless church. No, we as a church, we come together just as some of the music said. We think about, we sing about, we realize that it was the blood that was shed that was the payment of the price for our sin that we could not pay. And we proclaim his death until he comes. It is central to how we think about everything within life. That's why he calls us to remember it. Then notice in verse 27 through 29, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." Each time we come to this supper, I make the statement, none of us are worthy to take of the supper. There's absolutely no way, but we come in a worthy manner. It is not something that we do flippantly. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to prepare for this. If you're as a guest today and you didn't realize that it was taking place, I pray right now you are preparing your heart. And even during the time of the invitation, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, that you prepare your heart as you take this supper. We don't come to the supper with known sin. That's not what our desire is. Our heart is to be pure before the Lord. Now, does that mean you're perfect? No. Are there probably sins in your life that have not been exposed yet? Very distinct possibility. It's not perfection. But as best as we come to this supper in a worthy manner. And you notice here within the passage, there were those that were taking of this supper, and they were not discerning what they did. It was just one of those things that they did flippantly, came and they celebrated the supper, and there were those that were sick. And you notice it says there were even those that died or that were asleep. They lost their lives. It's very interesting. Notice, they were just complaining in the Old Testament. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says they were sick and there were some that died. An important time within the life of our church as we come together and we take this supper. Self-examination and realization of the cross each time we come to this place. You notice in verses 30 through 32, he says, "That is why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. But if we have judged ourselves," of course, I thought I read that, "we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along the world." Where are you today? I pray right now you have that opportunity as we have the invitation. We'll sing a verse, and then I'm just going to have Jim and the instruments play for a couple of verses and give you an opportunity to simply pray. Maybe you need to accept Christ as your Savior. You can come. Be glad to talk to you just right after worship service about doing that. Maybe you need to pray just in your own heart. You're coming with sin that you know is there, And you need to confess it to the Lord and repent as best as you can now of that sin within your life. Let's have a word of prayer before our invitation. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, help us within our hearts whenever we want to minimize sin to see how serious it really is. And Father, most seriously in our own lives. Father, help us not to be sitting in these seats today going, yep, that sure applied to the one next to me. But help it sink deep into our own hearts. Father, convict us, call us to repentance. Father, I pray for those in this room that they don't know you as Lord and Savior and that they shouldn't even take of this supper because they don't know you. Father, I pray that you would convict them of their sin and their desperate need of a Savior. I pray they see it just as they did in the Old Testament as the serpents were gathering around, that it's necessary for them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior within their life. Father, we pray that you will guide us in this time of invitation this morning. And Father, we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.